many of you came to church this morning? I think all of you were here, weren't you? Right? How many of you went home this afternoon and completely forgot everything that was said? Good. I like to hear those no's. How many of you are eager to hear more, to learn more, and to really get to know this man of God more? Come on now. Well, I'm going to preach. No, I'm just kidding. Come on up. You already gave him a welcome, but our good friend.
Home this afternoon, you know, and I thought, well, I concentrated everything, jam-packed everything in such a short space of time, and I'm going to just elaborate a bit more on what I've shared. But there's a few, I feel so many things in my spirit, and it's like God wants me to touch on that subject. That's what happens if you're a bit prophetic, because God is wanting to attend to everyone's heart and drop things in everyone's heart and touch things in people's hearts. So I jump around a little bit, but I'll just flow the Spirit. That's okay with you. That's fine. Of course, you know, man can't do anything for you. It's only God. And so I just want to flow with Him. But I want to say that you are precious people. I want to say that, you know, I can see a hunger that's rising up in your hearts. And there must be a very big reason for that, because God is positioning people. I believe that God is positioning people in this ministry, and He's doing a lot below the surface, because below the surface, that's where the root system is. That's where things are being taken up. That's where things are being absorbed. And below the surface, God is moving and shifting things in our lives. But I just look at this couple. The hunger of God is continuing to grow in your life. God's already done so much in your life. But it's nothing in comparison to what's about to take place, even the next year. Not even the next 5 years. I'm talking about the next year. It's just like you're in a concentrated season. And if I look at you as a man, I see so much transformation that has already taken place. But it's just like you came out of your shell. Boom. Boom. And people look at you and think, where do you come from? Okay. Where you were reserved, now you're just starting to bubble and you're starting to communicate and you're starting to share. And it's just like the Holy Spirit's taking control over your life. And this is going to take place more and more. So what the Lord is saying to you tonight, sir, is you're on a season of promotion. And you're on a season where God is exposing you the way He designed you. So there's many layers that's been peeled off you. Many things that's been removed from you. And just like you are experiencing, things are dying that was coming along with you in the past, where God says it's not what you need to take into the future. You don't need that. I see God has taken away crutches which you depended on in the past. And He says, it's my Spirit that is holding you. And you'll depend more and more on my Spirit. God's visiting you in the night season. Psalm 16 says, the Lord speaks to me even in the night season. God's doing that now in your life. I see you going to bed with questions at night. The next morning you just know what to do. The Holy Spirit's teaching you. The Holy Spirit's taking hold of you. So you're in a very exciting and a very exhilarating, actually, spiritual journey with the Holy Spirit right now. And you're going to experience a stronger, tangible presence of God. There's something that I recognize in your spirit, but the Lord shows me right now, is you are people that wants to serve. And you know there's power and authority in serving. But there's also when we serve the kingdom. You know the word of God says in Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You are serious in your decisions you've made. And with one motive is because of your love for God. God touched very deep parts of your hearts, both of you. You are a living testimony of God's goodness. But because of your attitude to serve the kingdom with no ulterior motive, financially, God's going to promote you tremendously. That's God's promise for you. If you think about Rebecca, you know Rebecca, Abram's, I'm prophesying over you, sir, the whole time. I'm prophesying over this family. You know voids. You understand lowliness. You understand isolation, both of you. And you also understand rejection. You understand inferiority. God has confronted those demons in your life and he's evicted them. There's something you are experiencing today is how special you are to the Lord. And the Lord wants you to know that. He wants you to experience that to the fullness. And that's why your secret place is going to become your most important place. Because you're going to experience true sonship when you bend the knee in his presence. And you're going to experience God's tangible. Right now, while I'm talking to you, you're already experiencing the tangible presence of God. He's touching you. But Rebecca was a servant woman. If you just look at Rebecca, in Genesis 24, the servant of Abram went to find a woman for his master's son, Isaac. He came to the well. God loves you, man. The Lord loves you. You are surgically being operated on by the Holy Spirit. Surgically. It's a big job. But he's the master. He knows exactly what he's doing. Exactly. People are also looking at you and saying, what's happening to this lady? Everything's changing in your life. Everything's changing. The spirit of prophecy is here tonight. So Rebecca. So this guy, servant of Abram, comes to the well with his 10 camels. He prays and he says to the Lord, Lord, you know, show me who's this lady going to be. If she comes and she, you know, washes my hands and gives drink to the 10 camels, I'll know this is the lady for my master's son. And Rebecca, he finds Rebecca there and he says, you know, she helps him to wash his hands. And then out of her own, she says, can't I just water your camels as well? Now, a camel drinks a lot of water. Okay? It's not like us, just a cup or a bottle. I mean, a camel drinks between 100 and 130 liters at a time. One camel. There was 10. That means it was 1,000 to 1,300 liters. She had a jar, a water jar, that could at maximum take 10 liters at a time. The Bible says, you can go and study it. The Bible, I'm still prophesying over you. The Bible says that she was a stunning, drop-dead, beautiful woman. Jaw-dropping, beautiful, stunning lady. Okay? She didn't think about her manicure or her pedicure or her hairdo. She looked at what needed to be done. That's exactly where God is with you. God is putting His sights in your spirit of what needs to be done. In your own life and also in the kingdom. That's what's happening. He's narrowing things down in your life. That's why things are dying and that's why things are popping up and birthing in your life. Narrowing things down. It's like God is... You put your sights on the target and you know, okay, this is exactly the target I need to eat. That's what's happening. God is narrowing things down in your life. So the Bible says you can go and study it. Go and read Genesis 24. That Rebekah took the jar and she started running from the well where she had to scoop the water to the water throw. All right. The Bible says she ran. Took the water. Okay. Now, do the math. If it's maximum 10 liters at a time to carry 1,300 liters, I wonder how this lady looked like after 4 hours. Come on now. But she was running. Go. Running. That's the spirit you carry. You guys, what I see in you is a willingness to give, to support, to carry the load. You've done it so well already, even before you knew God. Okay? It's a gift that God gave you. And you're going to see how God's going to supernaturally use that gift for His kingdom. And you know what? When she did that, the Bible says that the servant of Abram blessed her with 1.5 kilos of gold on the spot. Some of us would have first want to negotiate. What are you going to give me? No. And that's why God will promote you. You carry that spirit. You learn something there. Just preach something. Servanthood is powerful. You carry a mantle on your life. You're going to be praying for people that are sick and they'll be healed instantly. God's raising you up as people that will be marked by His anointing and recognized by His call on your life. Okay? Chris, it's your wife. Hello. What's your name? Sherry. Look at your life. God is reshuffling your calendar. That's what God is doing in your life. Right now, He's already been speaking to you about it. Your dates are not going to work out the way you wanted them to work out. The Word of God says there are many plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purposes that prevail. That's exactly where the Lord is with you. Also removing things that God doesn't want you to spend your energy on. He's giving you like a sniper. It's like He's bringing precision into your walk with Him. It's just like the things that you are going to do are really going to be effective. And they're really going to be productive. Now, we need to understand, you know, if you think, if you know, God is huge. I mean, everything exists in Him. And just look how big this planet is and the universe is. I mean, He's continually expanding. You know, the Word of God says in Revelations, there's 10,000 times 10,000 angels, okay, in His throne room. Now, 10,000 times 10,000 is 100 million angels. Only in His throne room. There are nations that don't even have that amount of people in them. Nations. 100 million angels. Angels are not small. They're big and they need space. Okay? So, these angels are all... I'm still prophesying over you. A 100 million angels only in his throne room. We need to understand that there are angels that are entering into the earth realm today that has never entered into the earth realm before. With new assignments, with mandates, with mantles that are dropping on his people in this season. You are one of those. You are one of those. And God is allowing you to rediscover things, to see things you haven't seen before. There are angels visiting your house right now in this season. In fact, there's an angel that's been ministering to you the last 3 weeks. Things, your thoughts are starting to change. Things are starting, you're getting a different perspective on things in your life right now. You are receiving blueprints and strategies from heaven for your future right now. Now, God has purposely blessed you financially for a certain reason. And you made a commitment to the Lord saying, everything you own is His. You are a steward, you're stewarding it well. God's taken you on that. I hear you praying, and I hear you committing yourself over and over and over to the Lord. But there are certain things that God wants you to align in your life, and He's giving that attention. He's giving your attention to those things right now. And it's just like things that, it's not that it's bad at all. It's just things that has been taking your attention where God doesn't want you to be distracted. And that's why He's removing certain things, events, dates. He's reshuffling your calendar. Your plans will not work out. His purpose will prevail. It will not work out. Everything's changing in your life. You must hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. This year is going to be marked with a year of change. Especially in your ministry. Especially the things how you wanted them to be set up. God says, no, no, no. It's not going to work this way. I'm going to do it differently. So it's a season of transformation for you. While I'm speaking to you, the Spirit of God's on you. Spirit of God's on you. You work well together as well. You're a really mighty team. A good team. Really complementing each other. Really supporting each other. And so what God is intending is for you to move together. Okay? You think much of your ministry is far from here. But it's actually all around you. You are what the Spirit of God is saying. You think it's far from you. It's all around you. I'm not saying that it's not going to be part going out far away as well as God gives those assignments. But most of it is all around in this region. So God's called you for this nation more than any other nation. Hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And the enemy has tried to discourage you in that arena for this nation. He's tried to take the wind out of your sails. Not to get momentum in that area. God says, you will find your momentum. You'll find the strategy. You'll find it all in my Spirit. But I've called you for this nation. So there's a weight that God is placing on your life in terms of His glory. He's increasing that weight. Your voice will have more authority in the future than it had in the past. And God says, I'll do more in your life with less. You don't need everything you thought you needed for what God has got for you. God says, I will raise you up. I will expose you. I'll show you to this world. Okay? So there's effective partnering going to take place in this next year or two. I see people coming into your voice, new associations, new connections, divine connections by the Spirit of God. And that's exactly what those angels are doing in your life now. He's setting you up. Does that testify of your spirit?
Okay.
Because you can expect a mighty move of God in your life. If I look at your heart, you've got an unadulterate heart, a heart that is set on God. You want to find God's will. You want to know you're doing what God has called you to do. You want to please God. That's your strength. And you know, we all have a source of our strength. Where does your strength come from? Samson wasn't allowed to cut his hair. All right? That was his covenant with the Lord. He was a Nazarite. And what was the enemy's strategy to stop Samson? He wanted, you know, to find out the secret. That's why Delilah was in his life. Now, Delilah doesn't mean seducer. It doesn't mean that. You can go and look at it. You can go and study it. Delilah means delicately weakening you. And so what the enemy would do, if he can't come up front, just, whoa, yeah, I am, I'm going to stop you. He doesn't do that. He comes and he delicately comes after the source of your strength to delicately weaken you. Never neglect your secret place. Never do that. And you know, a private sin in your life will shut down God's public voice in your life. Don't harbor things you should not in your life. Get rid of them. That's what happened to Moses. Moses, I'm sending you to Egypt. On his way to Egypt, God stopped him on his way and wanted to kill him. Why? Because he compromised. One of his sons were not circumcised. And he carried the call. He carried a mandate. Hello? Secret sin will shut down God's public voice in your life. You need to understand, we serve a holy God. Are you guys with me? I'm just sharing you what I'm just experiencing. God is speaking to people here. What if you don't know? Well, go and evaluate yourself. And go and speak to people that know you well. And let them tell you also. Hear what they've got to say. And make a list. Okay? So if you know, if you've got close friends, ask them, what strengths do you see in me? People that really know you. Okay? Let them tell you. They'll pick it up. They'll tell you. Amen? Are you good? Very special couple. Very special couple. Very special people here. People that are authentic. Real. Real. Don't find that much. Amen. You blessed, Chris? Bless you. Bless you. How long have you known the Lord, man? All your life. You know what God is doing in your life? He's taking the lid off. You've got so much to give. And you know what? You never think about yourself. You think about everyone else but yourself. That's you. But you've got a source of unlimited energy. You need it, yeah. You need it because you motivate everyone. And then you just motivate yourself in the secret place. That's what you do. And God's blessing you for that in this season. It's a season where you're going to feel propelled by the Spirit of God in all your endeavors because that's what you seek. You really seek the heart of God. And you pick up people's emotions like this. Sure. You know, you look at someone, they don't even talk to you. You know it. It's a gift from God. And then you take that burden, you carry it with them. And then it's like God has also raised you up as an intercessor. You also bring things before God. You pray for more for other people than yourself. Not many people do that. You really carry people's burdens. And so because you share so much with the people of God in terms of their burdens, God says, I'm blessing you. I'm propelling you. And God is also giving you assurance that God's got your back. Huh? God's got your back. He's got your back. He's taking... Yeah, He's got your back. He's fighting for you. For surely, mercy and goodness will follow you all the days of your life. That's a promise from the Lord for you. He loves you, man. He also says, don't never change. He just loves it. He just loves it. The way you are, He just loves it. Woo! But you are very sharp with your words as well. Oh, my word. I see she can comfort, but don't get on her wrong side. She's going to confront you. She's going to put you in your place. That's exactly how you are. Okay, God's showing you to me. I see your heart. In this season, your words will become more prophetic. Listen, you're already moving actually in the prophetic. Already actually. You don't even realize many times how many times the Spirit unctions you to say certain things. And you think afterwards, you think, why did I say that? Okay, but you're going to start realizing how profound those words are, and it's going to cut people's hearts open and heal their hearts. God literally sends you as a bottle of medicine to people's house. It's a gift. You know that. Amen. So don't hold back. Eh? You are gifted. You are a very gifted woman of God. So because of your willingness and also because of your faithfulness, you are very faithful. Very faithful. Small things, big things, you name it, you're faithful. When you also give your word, you keep your word. You're a woman of integrity. And you will do it at your cost. Even if you thought, okay, you made a promise, then you realize, what did I promise you? And then you realize, my word, this is a bigger sacrifice than I thought. You will still keep your promise, even at a huge cost. And because of that, God blesses you. Am I right, man? You must tell me, Diddy, you missed the mark completely. Ma'am, what do you do for a living? No. Yes. Part-time manage the gym. Do you know you're a good counselor? Do you know that? You don't. There's a lot of wisdom locked up in you. A lot of wisdom locked up in you. You don't even realize what wisdom flows out of you when you talk to people. You're a good listener. And you read between the lines. She looks at me like shocked. You are. And you need to understand that's the anointing that's on your life. You can give advice. You're a secret keeper. And you're a good counselor. That's the anointing on your life. So more and more people will come into your life. And they will be in your life for a season. Because God needs your voice through which He speaks into their life. Okay, so this is the season you are in. So God's you would rather just be at home with your, you know, spend time with Him. You like reading? Do you like reading? You do? I see your books before you. Okay, you like reading. But God says, no, I'm going to take you out of there. It's like He's taking you out of your comfort zone. Ma'am, God is taking you out of your comfort zone. Oh, is that good? So He makes you a bit... You what? You like a challenge. But that's what's happening now. So you are seeing more people. You are going to see more people. And you're going to be connected to more people. That's what's happening in your life right now. Okay? Do you know? I mean, you know probably everyone here in Manning. Is that her? Hello, people. Okay. Thank you. Bless you. Are you good? Isn't God good? My word. He loves His people. He loves His people. He loves His people. Ken. Much has happened in the last year or so in your life. In terms of what you carry, in terms of your expectations, in terms of your thinking about the future, everything has changed. It's just like there's a more conscious knowing in you that you know that God has prepared your way. That consciousness is increasing. The way has been prepared. The way has been set out. You've met people in the last year that you haven't known before. That's actually been a blessing to you. That's actually just opened doors to you, for you. God says you'll meet more people in the coming months. And there's divine opportunity set up by the Spirit of God for you. I want to say this over your life today, and you'll witness this. You are called to be a strong businessman and a strong leader. That's you. Things happen in your past that really just try to destroy your emotions, destroy even your faith, came against your faith. It's like the enemy has determined to, he was determined to plug out all your feathers so that you will shed all the glory you had in your life. And in certain ways, he succeeded in really discouraging you, in really pulling you down and really just trying to suffocate you. But God intervened. God intervened. And so God says, everything that you've lost, everything will be paid back 7 times. I see a godly woman next to you. A woman that will support the call of God on your life. A woman that will pray with you, pray for you. And a woman that will stand beside you and see all the potential that God has invested in you. You, sir, are a man of God. I want to say that to you today. The enemy has come against you to destroy you, but God is for you. And if God is for you, he will not be able to stop you. So you are, your footpath is marked out by the Lord. And the thing that God has set up for you, for the path that God has set you up for, the rails that he's put out in front of you, the enemy will not be able to derail you. It is like an inward tenacity that God has put there supernaturally. You have become unstoppable. The enemy is scared of you. You need to understand that God has prepared. You know, the word of God says in Psalms 139, he says that, he says, I've written a book about your life. You are in the chapter. You are God. You are living that book right now. And the enemy has stolen much from you. He's stolen much from you. Things that were dear to you. Things that were precious to you. It's like he ripped a piece out of your heart. God says, I'm the God of the heart. And he's restored your heart. Now, God is going to build your business first now. This is what's going to happen. Are you still working for a salary? You're employed? Okay. You're not going to be employed for very long. You are not going to be employed. Listen, God's placed you where you are today, but it's for a reason. It's all everything is about to set you up. Okay, God's put divine opportunities in place in your future. And you're going to recognize them. You're going to walk in them. You're going to know and have the full peace of God. This is all of God. And you're going to receive contracts. You're going to start your own business. I'm prophesying this over you. This is what God is showing me. And then when God builds your business in that whole process, you'll meet someone that's going to really over... Whew. Amen. But it's part of your prayer life. I hear you praying. It's part of your prayer life. You are trusting God for the right person. And you know what? You are actually very focused. You don't waste time on stuff. You are very serious in all your decisions that you're making. Okay? So when that happens, you know what? There's a ministerial call on your life as well. You love God. You love God. And you haven't let go. Even in your darkest hour, you haven't let go. You wanted to, but you didn't. You actually went in a deep state of depression as well in your life. You know what it even feels like to have suicidal thoughts. But God intervened and God saved you in your deepest, darkest hour. And today you're back on your feet, but now God says it's a time and a season of reward. This is happening right now in your life. Huh. When I look at you, even in your childhood years, there were serious storms in your life, even as a child. The enemy has tried to kill you even as a child, just because of the call that is on your life. You don't realize the anointing you carry. The enemy sees it. Wow, this word is... Is this also recorded? Okay, let me stand here. Okay. Just making sure. You know resistance. You know hardship from your childhood years. But God's taking care of you. He says to me, tell him, since the day he was born, even if in his mother's womb, I protected him. How old are you now? 46. You are destined to be a multimillionaire, sir. That's God's plan and purpose for you. Because you carry kingdom affairs as precious in your heart. That's why God will bring that to you. That's God's will and destiny for you. Okay? And when you are going to operate, first building your business, God's going to release a ministry in your life. Okay? So God bless you. You guys okay? I see you in Canada. I mustn't make people stand and bring them forward. Just let them sit and relax. Amen. I'm learning, just like you. I'm learning. Okay. I just want to share some word with you. You know, we've learned a lot on finances this morning, on God's principles in terms of tithing, in terms of giving, which is generosity, and in terms of sowing. Many times we feel that we're not qualified to prosper because we've made so many mistakes. You know, and people many times walk under the weight of condemnation. But condemnation is not our portion. God never condemns his people. Okay, and even when God comes and he judges something in our lives, it's to save us, it's to restore us, it's to put us back on track, it's to straighten things out that is bent out of shape in our lives. That's what God does. If you even look at this lady that was caught in the act of adultery in John chapter 8 verse 1 to 11, I'm going to read it to you. John chapter 8, verse 1 to 11, New Living Translation. The Bible says, Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning, he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. Just like we're doing now, yeah, you know, so Jesus is speaking to the people, and he's teaching them. And then religious, and as he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, very disrespectful. This woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. But what do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. It just amazes me how Jesus responded to certain situations. He just doesn't even listen to them. He just, okay, stoops down, starts writing with his finger in the sand. And then they kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again, not giving them attention, and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away, one by one. I want to say to you today, there are many things slipping away from God's people. Things that has broadcasted the opinion of others over your life. That's tried to brand you who you are. Maybe things that your parents said over you that's not of God. Judgments that has been spoken over you. Mistakes that you've made. Is slipping away. It's falling away. It's going to have no more effect on you. The Bible says, one by one they slipped away. Beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left. And that's exactly who must be left in our lives. No one else counts. No one else counts. Only Jesus counts. Started slipping away. Only Jesus is left with an adulterous woman. Hello? In the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Now, I want to say this to you. You know, the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. We see this in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. The enemy attempts to succeed, to cause his words to be bullets of destruction to our hearts and our minds, always tempting to destroy our souls. Doesn't want our souls to prosper, because the moment your soul prospers, your life prospers. It's just the way it works. Your health prospers, your relationships prospers, your finances prospers. Your life has a greater quality. When your soul prospers, everything prospers. Everything. So we need to give attention to our souls. We need to watch our thinking. We need to see what our souls receives as information. The knowledge of the Word of God will redeem our souls, will straighten out our thinking, will change our perspective. The enemy knows that. He seeks to weigh us down with condemnation. This woman qualified for the death penalty because it was written. She was caught in the act of adultery. She was condemned by the law to die, to be stoned. You see, the Pharisees, the religious people of the day, knew the word, but they didn't know the personality of God. They didn't know the heart of God. They didn't understand his heart. They knew the letter of the Lord, but they still didn't understand his heart. She qualified to be buried under the very sand Jesus was writing on. Society, with its moral superiority, disqualified her to live and believe in a greater future based on her mistakes. God never condemns us. God convicts and accepts us to respond. And it's good to live a repented life. Oh, my thinking is out of line, God, sorry. Oh, God, no, I didn't use my faith there, I'm sorry. Oh, God, no, no, I'm sorry, I judged that person, I'm sorry. A repented life is a good life. To live. Keeps you on track. Many people are buried under the sand of multiple mistakes they have made today. And I want to say to you that God is taking away that yoke. God is taking away that burden. Some have been fatally wounded, and regret is greater than faith in their lives. I want to say to you today, abort any regret in your life. If you made a mistake, God is greater than your mistake. Okay? God's already dealt with your mistake 2,000 years ago. He wasn't caught off guard because of the mistakes that you've made. And I'm so sorry, you know, you guys are holy, you don't make mistakes. Okay, we all make mistakes. Okay, but just think about this. They catch this woman in the act of adultery. They bring her to Jesus. The law disqualifies her to exist. The law disqualifies her and demands her death. The law demands that she would be removed out of society. The law says she needs to be buried under the very sand that Jesus stooped down onto to write with his finger in that sand. Death penalty. She qualified for the death penalty. And by law, she needed to be stoned. What does Jesus do? He stoops down. Starts writing in the sand. Religious people will tell you, well, he started writing all her enemies' mistakes. I don't agree with that, because God loves even our enemies. God does not even condemn our enemies. And that's what true love is to be able to walk with your enemy and still love him. It's easy to love people that love you. Jesus did not stoop down and write in that sand to give one iota of attention to her accusers. What he wrote in that sand was her destiny. What he wrote in the sand was her life story. What he wrote in the sand was his love for her. He gave his attention to her. You are a woman of destiny. You are a woman called, sanctified by God. You are my special daughter. I love you with an eternal love. What I started in your life, I will surely finish. That lady, and while he was removing and just shifting that sand, you know, when you shift sand, when you shift soil, vibrations get released. Hello? And that vibration hits your heart. When God moves in your life, there's vibrations. There's a knowing in your heart. You don't have the words. I just know something. Well, tell me what you know. I don't know, but I know. Hello? Because knowing is deeper than thought. Knowing is deeper than thought. And I want to say to you today, when Jesus put his hand in that thing, his finger in that sand, the very sand they wanted to use to bury her in. When he started writing her story in that sand, those vibrations hit her heart. And it started to form a picture in her mind. You know, have you seen putting sand or particles on a plate like this, and you start vibrating, and it starts forming a pattern? Have you seen that? An image comes out. That's exactly what's happening in the church today. Globally. Things are shifting, moving. I'm seeing things I've never seen in my heart. I'm discovering something that I... Not that you need to receive it. You were born with it. Some people are waiting for God to give them. Wait, what am I doing here? Sorry. Some people think they still need to receive something from the Lord. You've received everything from the Lord. You just need to discover them in you. And so sometimes, God, you are specialized containers. Born for special mission. put on this earth for a special task. Created by God with the love of God. By the love of God. Special to the Lord. And some of us has become rusty. So when that what God does, He goes and He shakes us. Why? Because He's getting rid of the dust, the rust. And so we start becoming, so when he starts to vibrate our being inside, it starts to friction. And it starts to give a shiny gloss inside our spirits. And so now we start seeing things on a different level. And we start to recognize things and knowing in our hearts that there's more to life than what I'm experiencing. I know what my dad said about me, but it's not what God says about me. I know what my neighbor said about me, but it's not. I know what my teacher said about me, but it's not what God is saying about me. The opinions that have tried to put limits on you, God is saying, I'm removing them. They are slipping away. And there's a pattern starting to form. And I want to say this to you. It's happening in your life too. Happening in your life. Happening in your life. Happening in your life. Happening in most people's lives. It's happening. God is saying, I want to increase your capacity. I want to maximize your potential. You thought you couldn't handle more. I'm going to give you more. God is stretching us. He said to that servant that had 5 talents, give him another 5. So money never goes where it's needed. Money always goes where it's multiplied. Why? Because God blesses good stewardship. And God is saying today, I'm increasing your capacity. He's doing this in this ministry. Corey is doing this in this church. He's doing it this in your life. He's challenging you. He's challenging all of us in this hour. When we walk with God, things cannot stay the same. Things have to change. And that lady recognized what her call was. And she recognized, well, what he started in my life, other people wanted to destroy. And even my own mistakes wanted to bring this over my life. But God says, I'm bigger than your mistakes. The law wants to kill you because the letter kills. The spirit gives life. But I've come to save you. So, I want to say this to you. There are people here. I'm prophesying here. There are people here. You are entering into a season where your plate will be overflowing with responsibility because of divine opportunities that's coming your way. Listen. And when we get all these responsibilities, we can at times become overwhelmed. Okay? I remember going through a season in my life. We had 2 churches. We had a church in Bethlehem, South Africa, not Bethlehem, Israel. And then God sent us to start another church on the East Coast, Port Elizabeth. And that's about 1,300 kilometers away from each other, apart from each other. So that's approximately 11 hours drive from one city to the next. And we ran 2 churches in one season and 6 businesses. You could think how I was feeling. I was like feeling like a schizophrenic Christian. I didn't know where I was, what I needed to do. And I remember one day in my secret place praying and saying, God, surely this cannot be your will. 2 churches, 6 businesses. How can I do my best? How can I really do and execute things that you have called me to the way you want me to execute them? This is just too much responsibility. And just before I prayed that prayer, 2 weeks before then, my youngest daughter, she was in preschool those years. And for Father's Day, they needed to make that a project to make a key ring holder for their fathers. And so she drew her father, Richelle, my daughter, drew me sexy and handsome on this key ring holder. Okay? Nice, thin, good. But this sticky man, that was now her father. And they laminated it with a key ring holder, you know, key ring. Okay? And that was their gift now to their fathers. And so she brought this to me, and they needed to color in the man they drew, which was now me. But for a three-year-old, she went over the lines when she colored in this little man. Sexy young man, you know. And she went over the lines. And God said to me, so I got the key ring holder from her, touched my heart deeply, and I put it on my bedroom key. And so while I was praying this, God shows me the key ring holder. And he says to me, go to the key ring holder. Take the key ring in your hand. Look at how your daughter drew you and colored you in. So I take the key ring holder, I put it in my hand, and I see, you know, okay, this is now the sticky man, you know. And she colored it in, but she went over the lines. And then God says to me, what do you see in the picture? I say, well, I see perfection. I see, you know, she went over the lines, but it's still good. It's still perfect for me. And then God said to me, that's exactly how I see you. Even if you go over the lines and make mistakes, just do what I called you to do. I'm bigger than your mistakes. And I'm bigger than your imperfection. That's the heart of God. So when you go and you have greater responsibilities and God is stretching you and God is adding to your plate, never forget that God is giving you the capacity. Just stretch. Just allow God. Maximize your potential and die empty one day. Give it out. Go for it. Don't be fearful to live. And don't be scared to make mistakes. Go for it. Okay? Praise God. Okay. Now, you know, if you look at just the life of Abram, God speaks to him in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. He says to Abram, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I'm your shield, your abundant compensation, and your reward shall be exceedingly great. That's Genesis 15, verse 1. He says, I'm your reward. You know what? When we live with God, we walk with God, God is our reward. Nothing else matters. All the other stuff is by just things that come as a bonus. Now, okay, I want to share this verse with you. Now, so we've learned about the tithe this morning. The tithe puts us in covenant with God financially. Okay, like we've learned this morning. All right. I was invited to be a speaker at a corporate event where a financial institution asked me to speak to their top farmers in a region in Northwest Province a few years ago. So I stood there at that speaker's event, and the people were coming, you know, arriving, the farmers, huge farmers, big farmers. I'm talking about 10,000 hectares, 15,000 hectares, 20,000 hectares of maize, it's of corn, huge farmers. And this one elderly man came walking up to me with his two sons that were already in their 50s. This elderly man was probably deep in his 80s. But still strong. Came walking up to me, and I could literally, at a secular event, see the glory of God on this man and his two sons. Came walking up to me, and I see God on them. Never met them before. And they come and greet me and go and take their place. And I'm stunned. I'm surprised. I'm shocked to see what I've just, you know, to witness what I've just seen. And I turn to the director of this financial institution. I ask him, who are these people? Because, and I couldn't hold myself back. I said, because I see the glory of God on them. And he's shocked. He said, wow, okay, wow, okay. So he says to me, let me tell you about them. That elderly man's father came to this district as a missionary early in the 1900s, only with his Bible, and he started working for a farmer in this northwestern district. And he found so much favor with the farmer that the farmer gave him 50 hectares of farmland for himself. And God blessed this 50 hectares, and then it grew to 150, 200 hectares. But he says, that old man, what you see there, since day one, his father, every 10th trailer that would leave his field with his heels, that 10th trailer, when he got to the co-op, that check was written for the church. Every 10th trailer. And they were doing it for more than 100 years, this family. Then he said to me this, So every 10th trailer, so today, that same family has got 20,000 hectares. 50 hectares became 20,000 hectares. He said to me, Didi, that's not all. He said to me, today still, every 10th trailer, that check doesn't even go to them. It goes to the church. Okay, that's their tithe. A secular man is telling me this. That's the arrangement they have with us. Okay. This is not all, he says. They've got 5 years of harvest in the silos. They haven't sold yet. And I tell them repeatedly, the prices are good, you need to sell. And then their response would be, we don't need the money. We're fine. Don't worry about it. And you can go and work it out. 20,000 hectares. It's thousands and thousands and thousands tons of corn. We're talking about millions and millions and millions of dollars of corn. He said to me, farmers around that farm would go bankrupt because they don't have rain on time and whatever, whatever. But they never have any failure with their crop. Covenant people. Covenant people. The Word of God says, I want you, if you don't know the Scripture, just take a note of the Scripture because it's an important Scripture. It's good for you to know the Scripture. And I love the New Living Translation. It says in 2 Samuel 23 verse 5. Can you find that? 2 Samuel 23 verse 5. Let's see on the overhead board. I want to share the Scripture with you because I want you to get the Scripture in your spirit. This is what it says. Is it not my family God has chosen? Each and every one of you, God has chosen your family. Okay? He goes on to say, yes, he has made an everlasting covenant with me. Your covenant with God is eternal. Goes on to say, his agreement is arranged and guaranteed in every detail. And goes on to say, he will ensure my safety and my success. That's a powerful scripture. You need to get that scripture in your heart and it needs to be settled. 2 Samuel 23 verse 5. Okay. I needed to share that with you. Okay, now. God does not build his kingdom with rich people. God builds his kingdom with generous people. That's just the way it is. Doesn't build his kingdom with rich people. Why? Because rich people own their own money. Generous people, God owns their money. Okay, now if you become rich financially because you are a generous person, 100%. That's good. Because that's your promise. It's your reward. God actually says, and I need to share the scripture with you so that that will be settled in your heart. In Proverbs 11:25, the God Word Translation. God Word Translation. Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous person a generous person, will be made rich. It's a promise. So God says, if you're a generous person, guess what? You'll be made rich. Okay? And whoever satisfies others will himself be satisfied. Okay? So, what is generosity? Generosity is the quality that receives more than it can give. What is generosity? Generosity is the quality that receives more than it can give. Let that sink in. Generosity is the gateway to a great destiny. Every time you give, because that's the nature of God, you hinder the devil. Your wealth is never measured by what you have. It's always measured by what you give. What did we learn this morning? Your wealth is your connectedness with God. A farmer understands the more he gives to the soil, the more he enriches the soil, the more he makes the soil sensitive, responsive to the seed he will put in that soil. It's the same with our hearts. The more we give love, the more we give kindness, the more we give from our life in terms of finances, something happens. It's medicine to the heart. Poof, explosions happen. We designed that way. Okay? And so we give because we love God. We give lovingly, not lustfully. Because God's not a casino. Are you guys okay? You didn't think this guy's going to come to Manning and talk about money. And I truly believe that you see my heart in this. Okay? I've just come to bless you for no other reason. I've just come to bless you. I live my life this way. You're talking to a man that was as poor as a church mouse, man. Listen, people. I have my high school diploma degree without maths. Okay, I've got accountants working for me. Hello? That's the way God blesses you. You talk about opportunities that's coming your way. I've seen that happening in my own life. God gives us divine opportunities. And the most opportunities that I've seen in my life is where I needed to roll up my sleeves and work. If money just fell out of heaven, how good would that be? Isn't that so? But you know, God... Come on, people. Sometimes it just does happen where gifts come into my life. Yes. Praise God for that. But most of the time, was opportunities where I needed to sacrifice. And God blessed the work of my hands. Come on, people. And God, you know, sets us up in such a way where God surprises you, where He just cancels your debt in an awesome way. Where you thought, wow, I didn't know I was going to be blessed this way. But God just set you up because favor, man, when you've got favor, even your enemies will bless you. It's just the way it works. Okay. And giving is always a sacrifice. I'm telling you, God has challenged me and my wife many times. We built houses for people. We furnished houses for people. I can't even count how many trucks, how many cars, how many motorbikes I've sown into people's lives. Can't even count them. This watch on my wrist. It's a watch that I always wanted. I love watches. When I walk down the street and I see a shop that sells watches, especially Breitlings and Rolexes, I just go in there. I love it. I don't know. I like it. I just like it. Okay? So, and this Breitling, I loved this watch for 30 years, but I couldn't afford it. I never could afford it. I would go into the shop when I couldn't afford it and ask the, and it looked like I can afford it, of course. And then ask the person, listen, can I just have this watch? Can I just put it on my wrist? I'll put it on my wrist and I will say to sis, sis, it's nice, eh? It's nice, eh? And then the person would look at me and say, yeah, okay, so you're going to take it. So I'll just take it off. I'll think about it. And then, you know, and then God started to bless us. And then when I could afford it, I walked into the shop and decided I will buy it. I'll put it on my wrist and I'll reach for my card to pay. And then God would say, no, that seed you wanted to pay the watch with, you'll sow it into that family's life. Huh? Yes. Okay, I'll do it. And then I did it. I could afford the watch, but then God would not allow me to buy it. And then it would happen again and again. And eventually I would just give up. One day I was in Lucerne, Switzerland. I thought, I'm going to buy my watch here because they're made in Switzerland. I'm going to buy it here. And I could afford it. Went into the shop and I was due for a conference a week after that. And God showed me a family I needed to sow that money. This watch value today is $25,000. Okay? But God didn't allow me to buy it. And so it went on for 15 years. And eventually I gave up. I said, okay, God, I know you don't want me to have the watch. I'm giving up. And so God kept quiet. I said, okay, don't even console me. It's fine. And one night, I'll never forget that night. About 12 years ago, I got a phone call out of Texas. Did he? Yes. What kind of watch do you like? I said, the Breitling, two-tone, chronograph, 46-inch dial. Could tell him to the point. He said, I've got the watch with me. I'm going to send it to you, a his and a hers. I'm blessing you with it. This watch is a living testimony. If you obey God, He'll bless you. You don't need to work for it. I mean, you don't need to go and, you know, spend the money on the things you want. He knows the desires of your heart and He'll take care of it. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. That's what God requires. It's obedience. I live my life this way. What I'm teaching you, I live it. We wanted to buy a game farm. A game farm. My wife is a very adventurous lady. She taught me how to hunt. The only thing I could shoot with when I met her was a pellet gun, like an air gun. And she taught me. She took me out for my first hunt. She's a wild lady. She grew up on a big game farm. Buffalo, African buffalo, lions, leopards, you name it. She's scared of nothing. When I met her, she jumped out of airplanes, like free fall, parachuting. I said, stop, please, stop. I can't live with this. She's crazy, adventurous, crazy adventurous. So, you know, she needs me in her life to get just a bit of balance, you know. I need her to give me some color, too, because I'm too serious. So, are you guys okay with me? Okay. So, but we wanted to buy a game farm. Because we love nature. We love the farm. We love the bush. And God, and I had the money, and God said, no. I don't want you to buy it. There's another project that I have for you. And so He gave me another project, and I had to follow, and then I could see why. The thing is, we need to be fluid with the Lord. And it all comes by being joined to the Lord. Those who are joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. And a king's heart is like a rivers of water in the hands of the Lord. He directs it wherever He wills. Proverbs 21 verse 1. Oh, Proverbs 20 verse 1. You can check it out. One of those two chapters. Amen? Okay? Okay. I think it's about that. You guys good? You blessed? Any questions? Yes. Yes. Yeah. Thank you for that. You know, I've got so many word, so much word that I can share with you, but God just literally put that in my heart to share with you the principles of finances in the Word, because it's been so abused in the past and still is being in many areas of the world in the church today. But it's all about God, the way that God designed you. God is a giver. He gives life. He gives hope. He gives courage. He blesses. That's God's nature. How can it not be the nature of His creation? God gave His only begotten Son. And so the enemy wanted to pollute this message, but God is straightening it out. He's straightening it out. The thing is, every time we give, something happens in you. When we forgive, when we release, when we pray for someone, it blesses you more than that person. When you evangelize, it blesses you more than that person. You walk away from someone you led to the Lord, energized. Whoa, 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 feel good. When you prophesy over someone, you see a smile, you see the encouragement. You know, when you minister to someone, you always have to ask yourself one thing. How can I make that person more free? Because he who the Son sets free is free indeed. That's the Spirit of the Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Always a minister, a person who ministers, must always ask themselves, how can I be used by God to bring more freedom to people? Because that's God's heart. More freedom. God's an enemy of manipulation and control. Totally. And abuse. More questions? Yes. Yeah. The best way to do it is to continually say, God, I trust you. You know best. That's all. You know, some things, you know, let me say this. Life is not, and the gospel is not all about health, wealth, and happiness. That's not the gospel. That's a false gospel. The gospel is not only about health, wealth, and happiness. There's trauma in life. There are challenges in life. There are tragedies in life. And we don't always understand them. It's just the way it is. You look at the disciples that walked with Jesus. Some of them were crucified also, upside down, Peter. They were burnt alive. They were fed to the lions. John the Baptist was, hello? At the end of the day, we are spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. This is a temporary thing. It's all. And it's brief. In comparison to eternity, you can't even compare it. I lost my brother at 11. My brother was 11 years old when he died. I couldn't understand it either. But God helped me to get over the trauma. I lost my sister at the age of 27. Couldn't understand it either. But God helped me to get over the trauma. At the end of the day, we need to trust God. Because death, where is your sting for a Christian? Okay. Okay, sorry, I understood you wrong. Okay. Yeah. God is a God of miracles. He can change your heart in an instant. Amen. God bless you. Questions? Anything? We're in a question and answer, Q&A session now. Okay? Is that okay with you guys? Are you always the serious here in Manning? You're making me very worried. I'm open for any question. If I don't know, if I can't answer you, I'll just tell you, I don't know. But at the end of the day, I just know that we serve a God of love. We come from Him and we will return to Him. You know, some people believe in the rapture, other people believe in, you know, that doesn't bother me. I don't care. I just know one thing. God speaks about growing up, not much about going up. So God just wants us to grow up. That's all. We need to be bigger than life on this earth, because the one we serve is bigger than the issues we face. And I know, you know, we need each other. We need family. And Pastor Corey said something beautiful just before the service. It's just fellowship is so important. Come to church. Put your shoulder onto the wheel. Don't look at your pastors to do everything. Say, where can you help? Hello? Hello? Let's move Manning. Let's turn it upside down. Hello, let's hit it with a wave of God's glory. Come on. You're looking at a guy, I don't know, you know, I just made myself available. That's all. God just is looking for someone that's available. He'll use a donkey if He can't use anyone. But He'll use some, He'll use, I don't want Him to use a donkey, use me. I love it. Why? Because I'm addicted to His presence. I've been living now with Pastor Corey and Jennifer for a few days now. I'm a man of prayer. I love praying. I love being in His presence. I cannot live without His presence. Why? Because I need to feel significant. Money doesn't make me tick. Significance makes me tick. At the end of the day, your life has significance. It's got eternal significance. It needs to have an impact on this world. You've got your own song to sing. You've got your own voice to be heard. It's yours. It's unique. It's yours. Let it come alive. And even, you know, I can't sing. I said to Pastor Corey and them, yeah, if I have to sing here in the middle of the summer, you'll have snow falls. But I sing when I'm alone with God and when I'm standing here and I know, okay, this music is loud enough, I can let myself go. I'll sing. But don't put me there in front. You'll all run away. But I mean, at the end of the day, just release what's in you. Release what's in you. God will use you mightily. Mightily. For me, I've known the Lord for 38 years. Those 38 years was a great adventure, but it's, you know what? I'm thankful for God for the past, but I'm not satisfied. Never be satisfied. There's more in God. Always more in God. Amen. Love you much. I really enjoyed my time with you. And I hope you are blessed. Love you. Thank you.
He mentioned his wife. You never got to meet her. We didn't even put pictures up. I didn't even think of it until now. But, yeah. So we were chatting on Thursday when I picked up. No, Friday on our drive up here. And I told him, I said, you know, bear hunting starts on Saturday. So that was yesterday. And I told him, I said, we can go out bear hunting if you want. And he kind of politely declined. But then he told his wife. And she said, no, you can't go. You don't have the right shoes. And then she also said, and also, I want to come up there so I can go bear hunting. So that's his wife. And yeah. I wanted to ask a couple questions or a couple of comments too. He talked about forgiveness. And a lot of people have a problem with forgiveness. They look at themselves and think that they're not worthy because they've done this or they've done that. Remember one thing. Before you did what you did, Jesus did what he did. Such a powerful thing. Just think on that. Take that home with you. And to talk, this guy here, he blesses me more than you know. I met him 4 years ago, almost to the day now. I think it was in March that I met him, and the words that he speaks, I knew right away, Didi, you need to come here. Now, I know where Manning is. He didn't. In October, I mentioned it to him again. I said, Didi, you need to come up to Manning. And he said, I will. 2 hours later, he came downstairs. He said, Pastor Corey, I looked on the map where Manning is. And then he asked me the best way to get here. And so I told him a few different things. And you know, the enemy tried to stop him from coming. I've never experienced it, but he did, that it is very difficult talking to Canadian Airlines when you're not in Canada. And he was basically stopped from coming all the way. He could get to Calgary, but he couldn't get to Manning. And so I just told him, I said, give me your information, let me know. And so I called Air Canada up, and I said, listen, what's going on? And they walked me through what went on, and then you know, we just got him here personally, because this man blessed my life so much. And Didi, I just can't believe you are here, and here you are. And God's so good. And then he invites me to his place. So you don't understand. So now just think, what is the most oldest house in the Manning area? And would you buy it? So just think on that. In 1 month and 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, something like that. The 20th of May, Didi moves into a house that was built in 960 AD. Think on that. I can't wait to see this place. 6-foot walls. Big, huge hearth with a fireplace. You know the old castle type things that has that? Like, it's just amazing. I'm just looking so forward to it. And then, to top it all off, the pastoral countryside of France. Yeah. I've seen pictures, and I can't wait. I'm expecting that he's going to send behind me a person playing a little accordion of that nice French pastoral music. And that as I'm walking down the road, all of a sudden the shepherd will come up with sheep blocking my way, just like we see in the movies, you know. Yeah. So and I'm hoping that if nothing else, you'll at least arrange it so that'll happen. Just no mimes. That's all I ask. No mimes. But anyhow, I say those things because, like he said, he lives this life. It's a blessing, and so we are blessed that you came here, and I'm blessed that you're in our house and speaking, and we're just hanging out and just doing stuff. And it's been posed to me a question of whether we could have more services, and I don't know, I haven't brought this to you because it was just a little bit ago, but would people be willing would you be willing to have another service if we were to have one sometime during the week? I still got to figure that out, but would you be willing, would you be wanting to come if this was available? Okay. Right now, at this moment, it looks like Thursday night would be the only night that we'd have available, that we don't have something going on. But we'll try to figure that out, and we'll let everybody know as best we can. Facebook is our best bet, If you don't have Facebook, those of you who do have Facebook, please call around once we figure out what's going on. So we'll figure that out, and then what's that? Yeah, call the church, and we'll get the word out as much as we can. But we'll try to figure that out. And Manning Family Worship Center, yeah, R-E, not E-R, for center, that is. Manning doesn't have an R and an E in it. Yeah. Neither does family, and neither does, well, worship has an R, but yeah, so center, R-E, yeah. Good, everyone? There are more books back there. Please pick them up. Dee Dee will sign if you are wanting a signed copy. I'm sure that you could sell it on eBay for a lot, so... Is eBay still a thing? I don't even know. I haven't been on eBay for a lot of years, but yeah, anyhow. And if you are wanting to bless and plant a seed into Diddy's ministry, just mark on the, if you don't know how to spell Diddy, or just put guest, and then put it in the box there, and God will bless you. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for seeing Manning and saying, we're going to send this guy. And thank you for Dee Dee being willing to come here. And thank you for all these people who took of their night and came. And Lord, I pray that each one has received a blessing, has received a word, has received a nugget from your word that they will be able to take and make a part of their life. And so, Lord, bless us through this week. Help us to make the right decisions. Help us to have wisdom that comes from you. Help us to have your knowledge and your strength, your counsel. May we all find it in your secret place. And Lord, help us to be blessed of you. Amen and amen. God bless you all richly, and we will see you again. Please keep note as to if we do have another service. God bless.